Not kidding.
I won. Cuggy.
Should have wore it.
Uh-huh. That's why he goes, I forgot a jacket. I was like, there's one hanging up back there.
Yeah.
Ready?
With the Osage Congress seal.
All right. Are we on? Okay. All right. Grazie, Itali. I'd like to call the 7th Osage Nation Congress to order. We're on August 5th, 2020. The time is 10:01 a.m. We're on our second special session, day one. This morning, I'd like to ask Congressman Keene to pray for us.
Please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, please watch over all of those that have suffered from COVID. We ask you to lay your healing hands on them. We ask you to please give us clarity of thought as Congress tries to make the right decisions to guide this Osage Nation Congress. And we ask you to please lift any burdens anyone has, unspoken or spoken, and just watch over us and protect us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congressman. Roll call, please. Congressman Big Horse.
Present.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Present.
Congressman Keene.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Maker.
Present.
Congressman Potts.
Present.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Present.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Speaker Pratt.
That's you.
Assistant Chief Redcorn.
Present.
We have a quorum. Next is the executive message from Principal Chief Jeffrey Standingberg. Good morning, Chief. Quickly, I'd like to say Treasurer Littleton and Director of Operations Casey Johnson, we have chairs right here that aren't going to be utilized, so if you'd like to take a seat right there. I know you like to stand, Casey. Okay. All right. Just wanted to let you know. Good morning, Chief. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Madam Speaker, and members of the 7th Osage Nation Congress. It's a great honor again to be here before another Congress, and we are looking forward to working with you in accomplishing some progress for our people. We are submitting some items for your consideration, which under our constitutional laws require consideration by the Congress. I'm looking forward to seeing the results. I've informed my staff and Assistant Chief that I will support the will of the Congress as it comes out of this session on all these matters. And there are nine listed. Number one is the reason we've asked you come today. I had previously considered August 10 as a date for some of these other items, but it was brought to my attention by Assistant Chief Redcorn that the purchase of property that's been called the Moore property over here off Main Street for clinic construction purposes needed to get moving because that was about ready to close. And so as number one was posted, I would ask you to ask Assistant Chief to participate in those discussions and he can provide you the details. Number two is an amendment to the Osage Nation Higher Education Scholarship Fund Act. Treasurer Littleton can provide good information. That has to do with the fees. And I know they were working with Congressman Walker and made a lot of adjustments to that legislation before it is, before whatever is before you now is there. And I expect some lively discussion there. We're trying to get the fees paid because of the law, the way it's written, our interpretation, and the Attorney General's interpretation say we need to stay within these limits as they exist now. But according to Scholarship America, I am told They need the monies now, not in the future, or they're not going to process our students' papers. And so we're going to have to find a solution, short-term and long-term. And the long-term solution has been looked at before. I think it's we should revisit that, especially in the upcoming session in September. So, but assistant, excuse me, the treasurer can talk to you about both of those. And number three, consider a resolution to allow limited negotiations to protect Osage Gaming. There have been two major court decisions recently. We've stayed out of court by just following along, staying in pace with everything, but not getting tied up in litigation one way or the other. The Supreme Court of Oklahoma made a very important decision saying the governor may be able to enter into compacts with tribes on his own, but he cannot redefine the types of gaming that are allowed in Oklahoma for a compact. So all that discussion about house banked, roulette, house banked, gaming for cards, all the Las Vegas style, now requires a tribe and the governor or anybody to go to the state senate, state house, and ask for a sports book or ask for the kind of gaming that we need, in my view, to compete with other casinos in Arkansas and wherever else they may be constructed. And Byron Big Horse has for me, he will be here to discuss that as well. During this process, since July of last year, as you can imagine, I know many of the lawyers involved on all sides. I've been getting information, but I have not been negotiating. There's no reason to. But now that this Supreme Court has ruled and federal judge DeGiusti has ruled, the compacts roll over for 15 years as is. But as is means the forms of gaming that we have now and does not authorize any new forms of gaming, which is really where we want to be. And the other issue is what's called Part 11 on the exclusivity fees. That is still up in the air and is still being discussed. So we need to be able to have flexibility to adjust to what could be even more fast-paced action. Anything that the executive does, of course, has to come to the Osage Congress. But if I'm going to be meeting with people, they're going to want to know, can I actually speak for the nation on this or that? And, of course, I'd bring gaming involved. Anything else would be subject to reports to the Congress and final approval by the Congress. So that's what that's about. Number four, amendments to the Board and Commissions Act. That is as a courtesy sponsor. Congresswoman Shaw has filed that for us. We've been trying to get control of the issue everywhere on the growth of this government. It is expensive. Our health card population use has grown exponentially, scholarships, and then in our boards and commissions, we have huge costs. It occurred to some of us a couple of years ago, why aren't the enterprises and the nonprofits paying their stipends and travel out of their own revenues? After all, these entities are supposed to be providing money to the Osage Treasury for this Congress to appropriate. But it seems it's been upside down for a long time. Even this morning, Treasurer was worried about where to find $40,000 because another LLC said, we need the money like right now. And I said, well, Jim, look, just let's prepare for the Congress. Don't get too wound up about it, because remember, they're supposed to be providing us money. Why are we always worried about how we can find money for them? Which is how it's been. And so we'd like to move away from that and encourage our enterprises to make profits. This Congress has supported the enterprises, all of them, with millions and millions of dollars. Some with just $1 million, some with $23 million. It depends which enterprise. So we encourage them to make money for the nation. But on the boards and commissions, their stipends and salaries, they should be making those payments out of their own operational revenues. That's what I'm proposing. And that is going to be authorized in the main issue in number four. Number five, consider alienation of property. There's some property, someone called it a property swap. When we purchased the First National Bank building, we also received as a bonus some where the old Hernandez. What was that, Assistant Chief?
Well, that's
and there's confidential information that Assistant Chief will share with you, I'm being told. Okay. Then there, number six, a limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the drug court contract. That was requested by Dr. Shaw's staff. That's on your agenda. Number seven, to consider a resolution for fiscal year 2021 projected revenue. That would be very helpful for all of us. We can all agree on what projected revenue would be. We've finished yesterday in executive our 98% budget work to be submitted to you next week. We are waiting on a couple of issues, and we've been working on the projected revenue as the casinos, Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board resolution showed that new amount, and also from the proposed projected revenue allocations as well. We worked off of those. So we intend to stay in lockstep with you and go forward. And of course, there are going to be a lot of adjustments by the Congress as we go forward. But either way, projected revenue, is we got to start there. So looking forward to that. And number eight, consider amendments to the Health Authority Board Act. That is to amend the law. Some of you may remember, for years, the health board was an advisory board, and then it evolved to some more different authorities, and then there was a law that provided, as you'll discuss, all personnel, contracts, actions, and so forth into the board, and giving the board more authority. They still are essentially a department in the clinic and all the programs of the nation. They're not a separate entity. They don't have a separate tax ID number. They are included in our audit as part of the nation, even though the other enterprises are included as what the auditors will call component entities. They have their own separate ID numbers. That's not the case with the Health Authority Board. It is essentially historically created. That, I understand, now will be revisited this session. Number nine, to consider an appropriation to the museum fund. That is, a courtesy sponsorship and more from Congressman Big Horse. Where that comes from is the Congress and my office agreed on an amount for the planning. When we went through, for months, we went through a thorough bidding process nationwide. We found that the best for this job is a consortium including a Tulsa architect firm. They happen to be doing the work for Philbrook a museum. They've done work for Gilcrease Museum. They are world-class, and we want world-class for our museum expansion and improvement. And that amount plus the amount for the display portion totals right under $500,000. We need, we are requesting an additional $250,000. As the people have been on here before, remember, I had submitted a bill to have the IIM fund, which is the nation's fund held by the Office of Special Trustee for surface leases, not to be confused with the money that the Minerals Council has. They have their own IIM accounts. But this fund is where the surface leasing income falls, and it has for years. I don't know how many years, but it's ever since I've been here. And that money is just rental income, and it accumulates. Well, I submitted a bill, some of you may remember, requesting the Congress to authorize us to use that for restricted land purchase. Once it got to here, there were some Congress members who disagreed with my proposal. And they can speak for themselves, but they're no longer here. So they said we were authorized the chief to work. Actually, they didn't authorize me to do anything. They authorized the treasurer to do it all. And our reading of that law says the treasurer can, without further authority from the Congress or the chief, draw down whatever the treasurer thinks for any purpose. And Jim, I think you can explain that more to the committee. And but in our view, it still needs an appropriation before we use it. So we know that money is over there, and we know the treasurer can draw down on it. That's the law now, for any purpose. And I have set this museum as a priority. And I've often remarked to the staff how important it is to our people. So when we discovered 6 years ago, we first got in office, that the entire fire protection for the museum was one fire extinguisher, and the entire security system was a metal alarm bell on the wall, which didn't work. I informed the staff, if that place burns down this weekend, or somebody gets there and steals it, you're all fired, and I'm resigning. So we got right on it. And since then, we've been figuring how can we better build on the heritage that was left us for this museum. And we decided to reach out to different people, and then our director took a job over in Oklahoma City with another museum, and Marla Redcorn Miller was recruited. There were some other Osages, very qualified Osages in the mix. And she has a lot of experience in this business. And then I reached out, Assistant Chief had been talking to David Grand, the author of Killers of the Flower Moon. And Mr. Grand said, I want to do something in a memorial for those who were murdered, particularly those in the area and the time that we were talking about in the book. And I said, well, what do you have in mind? He said, well, I don't want a plaque, I don't want a statue, I don't want something like that. I want something more alive. And so I said, well, keep working with the communities and we'll support it. Well, after I was talking to him, I went to see Assistant Chief and I said, you know, this, he knows a lot of people with a lot of money. He lives in New York, right? I mean, he's part of that world. So I called him back, and I said, what if, separate from what you're doing, I'm not asking for you to put money into it personally, but what if we had a plan for this museum that was just world-class, that doubled its size, tripled its size, got the right lighting in, got all the temperatures that you need. And we started going up to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., to all those warehouses full of Osage artifacts. If we went up to the Peabody Museum, if we went all over the country and started bringing, at Gilcrease, and started bringing some of our material back. And we wanted to take care of it ourselves. Could you get some help? And he said, you know, I know a lot of big checkbooks, Chief. I know a lot of them. So yeah, we can do that. So a few months goes by, and as you all know, you're movers and shakers. You go, well, how do I make it real? I mean, that's nice to talk about it, but how do we make it real? So I called him back, and he goes, well, what's the plan? What's it look like? How many square feet? I'm not talking about architect and engineering. He goes, but if we're going to sell this and do fundraisers in New York or even Germany, where they think Native Americans are tops, or Japan, where they think Native Americans are tops, and this movie coming back. By the way, my latest information is they would start filming, subject to coronavirus activities, in February of 2021. And they will be here for about 16 weeks. And they're going to start moving in here quietly. Like, I'm not helping that very much, but quietly around November and December. So they're coming. And we need to take advantage of this. And it's my belief and Marla's belief that time is of the essence. So we didn't want to wait until September. We wanted to move now because we've already selected the planning team, but because there's no money to fulfill the contract, I'm not signing the contract. I would like to sign the contract and get moving. But in order to do that, we need the funding. And the treasurer has identified the funding source, best source, to be the IIM account. And he will give you the entire balance and how that may work. Just a refresher for those of you who have been here before and saw it, and new information for those who have never seen it. So that completes number 9. And again, we'll do our best together. We have good staff, and they're available to you, and look forward to working with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chief. Next is the legislative message, and I'm going to keep my seat here, and I'm just going to kind of, first of all, thank you, Chief, for your remarks and the brief description of all the items. I want to welcome Congresswoman Rivard, Congresswoman Shaw, Congressman Keene, and all the other Congress members back together. We're always glad to be here. And so I just want to say that we're going to try to, we have a lot of work to do in the next couple of days. We can go a couple of days or we can go several days. So we'll just work through it. But I want to say we're going to, for one, we're meeting, first of all, I should say I've been notified that we're having technical difficulties, so I don't even know that they can hear us live. So I believe that the members meeting electronically can hear us, but I don't know that the live feed is able to hear us. So Ms. Haney is on her way to take care of that. Look in your emails and your calendars for the go-to meeting links. If you are a committee chair and you need anyone specific to be able to have that link regarding legislation that is, it will be in your committee, be sure to get with Shanna to have that sent to the individuals that you are going to need to participate via go-to or would like them to participate. Maybe they need to weigh in on legislation. For the most part, as I put out a couple of weeks ago, we are mandatory masks. We are closed to the public because we are in such close proximity to the downtown area where people do wander in from time to time, wanting to look in here, ask questions. And so we are closed an entry on a case-by-case basis. And I wanted to say, when we read in legislation, we've spaced the tables out to social distance. But if you would like to keep your seat, I know some people are ready to go and want to stand at the podium. But others, if you would like to keep your seat when we're reading in legislation, so there's not as much movement and getting closer to one another, then you can do that. And so we're just going to take it slow, but move quickly, work quickly, but we're going to take it slow for the new members and also for, because we're meeting electronically. So we have one clerk right now, so please bear with us. Be patient. Please notify myself or the second speaker, Revard, or just rely on each other. Let's all help out to get through this. And because she's overloaded with, you know, requests and trying to get copies and information and meeting after meeting, please just let me know if I can do anything for you all. If any of you all can, we can help anyway electronically. We're all willing to do so and pitch in and help out one another. So I think for the most part, because Chief has gone over the legislation, I just wanted to talk on those in-house kind of things. I think that's it for the most part. Okay, so we're gonna keep moving. Next is reports of select committees. Congressman Keene.
So the Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee met last Friday, July 31st. The committee recommendation was amendment to Congressional Rule 12.15E. The final committee action was a do pass. The vote results were 3 yes votes, Keene, Good Fox, Big Horse.
Thank you.
The committee is moving to strike the latter part of the rule that has been declared unconstitutional by the Osage Nation courts. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other reports of select committees? Seeing none, reports of standing committees? None. Bills and resolutions on first reading. Congresswoman Shaw.
Speaker, thank you. Reading in ONCA 20-58, an act to amend the Boards Act at 15 ONC sections 5-102, 5-103, 5-104, and 5-106, and to establish an alternate effective date. Thank you.
Thank you. Congresswoman Lemon.
Good morning, Speaker Pratt, members of Congress, Assistant Chief, Principal Chief, Standing Bear, Treasurer, and Casey, and Mr. Wygant. And all those listening, reading in ONCA 2059, an act to amend the Health Authority Board's duty to make all personnel decisions and to establish an alternate effective date. Thank you.
Thank you. Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you, Speaker. I'd like to read in ONCA 2060, an act to amend the limitations on expenditure of health revenue and establish an alternate effective date.
Thank you. Congressman Walker.
Thank you, Speaker, and good morning. Morning, everyone. Reading in ONCA 2061, an act to amend 11 ONC section 4-102.1 of the Higher Education Scholarship Fund and to establish an alternate effective date.
Thank you. Congressman Big Horse.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, Chief, Assistant Chief, colleagues, listening audience. I read in ONCA 20-63, an act to authorize and appropriate $250,000 capital asset fund, interpretive plan, pre-design services, and master planning for the Osage Nation Museum expansion and to establish an alternate effective date.
Thank you, Congressman. Congresswoman Good Fox.
Thank you, Speaker, members of Congress, those in attendance. I'd like to read in ONCR 2021, a resolution to establish the consent of the Osage Nation Congress to the alienation of property and for the property to be conveyed.
Thank you. I'm reading ONCR 2022, a resolution authorizing the principal chief of the Osage Nation to negotiate terms of a gaming compact and to present any negotiated new terms of a gaming compact to the Osage Nation Congress for approval. Also, ONCR 2023, a resolution to authorize and approve execution of a contract for treatment services or other integrated services, sole source, fiscal year 2021, with the State of Oklahoma Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services, and to authorize a limited waiver of sovereign immunity from suit and consent to jurisdiction. Congresswoman Rebard.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to read in ONCR 2024, a resolution to approve the fiscal year 2021 annual revenue projection of the Osage Nation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Speaker, this is Stabler. I'd like to make a motion.
Yes, Congresswoman.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the proclamation to add ONCA 2062 to the proclamation to amend the health clinic construction fund for the health care needs of the Osage Nation.
There's a motion on the floor to amend the proclamation as Congresswoman Stabler notified by email a couple of days ago as stated in the rules. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's made and second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, motion passes and ONCA 2062 is now on the proclamation.
Madam Speaker, I have another motion.
Yes, ma'am.
Like to add ONCA 2062 to today's agenda on first reading.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to place ONCA 2062 on today's agenda on first reading. All those in favor say yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. I'd like to read in ONCA 2062 to amend the health clinic construction fund for the healthcare needs of the Osage Nation and to at an alternate effective date.
Okay, thank you. ONCA 2058 is assigned to government operations. ONCA 2059 assigned to health. ONCA 2060 health. ONCA 2061 education. ONCA 2062 health. ONCA 2063 culture. ONCR 2021, Commerce. ONCR 2022, Commerce. ONCR 2023, Health. ONCR 2024, Appropriations. Does everybody have that? What's Congresswoman?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. 2062?
2062, yes. You have 59, 60, 61. 60, excuse me, 62, not 61. Did I confuse you more? Okay, if everybody has that, then we will move on to motions and notices. And on the agenda, I place the CARES Act funding update from the executive branch. Everyone has a copy. Does everyone electronically have a copy? Okay. Shanna is going to, the clerk is going to send that electronically to those. So please look in your email. We do have a report before us. So hang on just a second. Chief?
I was going to say, Madam Speaker, members of Congress, James Wygant, head of the task force, will be making our presentation as the lead person, but he will be looking to the treasurer here and to Casey Johnson, Director of Operations, for assistance.
Okay, thank you. So she's getting that sent out, and I'm pretty sure you heard, but Mr. James Wygant is the Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator, Mr. James Wygant.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hang on 1 second, James.
Madam Speaker.
Yes, Congressman Potts.
I'd make a motion to suspend Congressional Rule 4.3 to allow the report.
Second.
There's motion made and seconded. Discussion? Oh, there's a rule suspension. Sorry. Okay, the rule states the principal chief, the assistant principal chief, employees of the Congress designated by the speaker or upon formal invitation by a majority of the Congress. So I'm going to rule that I invited this employee, James Wygant, and I placed it on the agenda. So I do not see the need for a rule suspension. So, Mr. Wygant.
Thank you. Members of Congress, Chief Standing Bear asked me to update all of you on where the CARES Act implementation stands. On the front of your report here, the first page is the current budget and expenditures to date. This is as of yesterday. We also, Chief, wanted specifically to give the number of Osage direct assistance that's been given out so far. And this is the numbers that have been processed and sent to accounting. This is not actual payments submitted. Right now, we've submitted payment for a little over 3,000 Osages. We have about 1,200 waiting. On the Osage-owned business grant, that program opened up on July 13th. We're currently accepting applications until August 12th at midnight. And as of right now, we have 104 applications accepted. I then went through, the task force met multiple times. We had a lot of discussions with executive members of the Osage Nation, and we realized that the best approach that we felt to assist the Osage people with this coronavirus is to focus on some core areas. Number one was food security. I would go down to the grocery store, there was nothing on the shelf. Or if you went into the grocery store, it was three times what it used to cost. We need to help with that. So because of that, we're doing the meat packing plant, Bird Creek Farms, and the Osage Ranch. Additionally, I worked from home. All of my coworkers worked from home. All of us, including you, experienced a lot of technical problems trying to do that. As this continues, today we're experiencing technical difficulties. We would like to invest in the Osage Nation's ability to work and learn remotely. That includes the Osage Nation schools, culture and language classes and Osage Nation employees. This will also update the website so that Osage Nation constituents can then log in. It will be tied into CRM. It will, you'll be able to access services remotely a lot smoothly. In addition, and most importantly, really, is the direct service, real where the rubber hits the road with COVID, is the other prong of this approach. We are giving money to the clinic. That's number one priority. We're paying direct payments to individual Osages and Osage-owned businesses. Tribal Works is going to be the clearinghouse for all PPE and other COVID defense mechanisms. Emergency management will also have a piece of this. And then we had some other needs that we're also addressing: congressional operations, judicial, Osage home health, and then we have an admin budget to administer this gigantic $44.9 million grant. My report moves through each of these items. I'm not going to read this verbatim. I'll let you take a look at this later. It goes along with the budget as done on the front page. The first prong, as I mentioned, was food security. We are moving forward with the meatpacking plant in Hominy. Dirt work and utilities are being done right now. From my understanding, we're supposed to start pouring concrete today or tomorrow. Builders Unlimited is the builder. They expressed some concern because a lot of other nations and other governments and other entities are building packing plants because this is such a need. The COVID guidance originally said that everything must be expended by 12:30. There was a new guidance that states that if there's a delay in accessing materials that you can prove was due to COVID, such as cutting equipment, coolers, things like that we're going to need, that we can actually purchase that stuff later after 12:30, which was a godsend for that new guidance. So the plant should go forward. We won't have a problem paying with those materials. We're working with Coda Holdings to work on an operations plan. It is not a business plan. You know, this response has to be to feed our people. It's not a business. If it becomes a business later down the line, that's fine. But right now, we're working with Coda Holdings to develop an operations plan that will also include USDA certification. We're working with the Food Safety and Inspection Service and a number of other real professionals to get us up and going. Human Resources is going to purchase Human Resources is working to hire a plant manager, and once that person comes on, they'll take the lead on this. Right now, we've got the Food Security Subcommittee is overseeing all this. That's Jan Heyman, Justin Carr, Jason George, and Jamie Clark. Burr Creek Farms is also moving along. They've already poured concrete. We're going to build a 44,000 square foot general use building and a 40,000 square foot greenhouse. Osage Ranch, they're out building pens and fence to secure and bolster our food supply. We're also spraying some pastures and turning that rangeland into more productive use so that we can feed our people better with that. Moving on to direct response, the health center, like I said, is number one. Health centers received $2 million. They're purchasing all kinds of equipment, supplies, bringing on extra nurses, cleaning. Dr. Shaw met with the legal advisory team. He had proposed to purchase two mobile clinics. This way we can take the clinic to the various locations within Osage County. The legal advisory team said, well, why can't we just bus these people in? And that just won't work with COVID and spatial distancing and all that. So I think this is going to be a good deal where we can go out to our communities now in the middle of COVID and then in the future have that resource for anything else that comes along. We did spend some time trying to construct a new men's primary residential treatment facility. There's going to be a real need for that now as COVID is going, and Dr. Shaw has successfully argued that there will be a coming surge of abuse that will need this treatment due to COVID. And we went over it, and we agreed, the advisory team agreed, that would be a legitimate use. To build it on the time frame that we need to build it, we needed to put the facility on trust property. We wanted it here in Pawhuska. It just didn't fit for that. But we are working with Dr. Shaw to come up with a way to get that facility built by other means. Individual direct assistance. As we started off with the report, you saw that a little over 3,000 Osages have been processed. This program rolled out July 13th. Assistance is available up to $1,000 for each senior age 65 up, and up to $500 for all other Osage adults and children. We developed a simple front and back application. We tried to keep it as easy as we could. For audit and compliance purposes, you know, I was in the compliance department previously. Vendor pay or reimbursement would be the most acceptable use of this funding, where someone would show, here's my receipt for my COVID caused loss, or here's, you know, I can't make my rent because of COVID, and then we pay the individual people. That administrative burden was too much to accomplish. So, and then of course, an across the board, you know, per cap is not allowable. After discussing this with the advisory team, we realized that the best course of action is to have the individual report their loss, state that this is correct and true under penalty of law, and then notarize their signature attesting to this fact to bind the document. So it's, you know, I guess for audit purposes, that would be the best course of action. And the task force all agreed. Financial assistance has hired several temporary employees to help process applications. As you can imagine, there was a gigantic surge of applications. Financial assistance has been working overtime trying to process this through. We've asked for help with some of the other departments that utilize CRM to bring them on. I feel that we are over the hump of the surge. I think we'll probably see another bump up as the Osage News newspaper hits people's homes. But I think right now we're doing well. Right now there's about 600 applications that are pending. The average is about 2 Osages per application. So we approximate that about 1,200 Osages are waiting. We are notifying and processing all of them within 10 business days per our policy. The policy also states that payments will be made within 30 calendar days. So we are up until August 12th until we are within our policy of where we need to make those payments, and where I feel ahead of schedule right now. The Osage-owned small business grant, this also went live on the 13th. This is for a proven caused business loss up to $10,000 for each Osage majority-owned business. We've contracted with Tri-County Business Development Center to be a neutral third party to evaluate these applications. There's a lot of sensitive information in there, people's financial data. We've dealt with Tri-County before to have them peer review things. All of those applications are going to them, and they will handle that. And we have a contract in place to pay them for that service. Tribal Works is the next. Tribal Works has been made the clearinghouse for all PPE for the whole Osage Nation. They're purchasing anything and everything that you could ever need for COVID response. If departments have been asked in the villages and if anyone needs it to go, and if they don't have it, they'll order it for you. They're also going to put in proper storage to store all of this material and secure it so that there's not any loss. And then what became a very major component of their outreach was UV sanitation filters on a lot of the Osage Nation buildings. We looked at doing it in all the Osage Nation held properties, and we did not have enough money to do that. We found that it was financially possible to do 16 buildings, and those are all listed there. It does include this building, the visitor center, the welcome center, the museum, and the health center, and a number of others. Like I said, emergency management is another piece of this. Bobby Tallchief's program, he was able to purchase some much-needed equipment that was never possible before, such as a mobile response trailer. He's going to have emergency shelter supplies, where if things get really bad, we could actually open up a shelter. And we're going to do a lot of good with that. Information technology. This is Mark Kirk's department, and a bunch of others working to bolster our ability to work from home and learn from home. They're running broadband all throughout the city of Pawhuska. They're running fiber optic lines that broadband will run off of. They don't have, it's kind of a moving target as they move through it. They're hoping to run a line to the Women's PRT, Burr Creek Farms, and then Wildland Fire, and then branch off of there. They're also hoping to run a line to Wake and Iron and service the Pawhuska Indian Village, and then broadband off of that. The remote work, what is it called? The current desktop that we use. I tried to use it from home, and I would get kicked off. Mark Kirk was telling everyone, you know, if you're not using it, you need to log off because the whole system's bogging down. They're working on a completely new virtual desktop system where any Osage Nation employee can log on to any computer anywhere, and then it's just they're at work. And so that's going to be a great benefit for the nation going forward. They're purchasing a lot more loaner computers at hotspots for people that maybe live in a remote area and don't have access to internet. We also, part of this proposal included 30 thermal cameras. They installed one at the clinic where people walking in are automatically, their temperatures are checked. It was a success, and they're hoping to install those at 29 other Osage Nation facilities. Distance learning is another big element of it. You know, all of our culture classes, language classes all had to stop because of COVID. We are purchasing multimedia equipment to develop courses that could be taught online to keep these classes going. We're working to purchase the rights from OU for an Osage dictionary and digitize it. The Osage Museum is also hoping to have a virtual museum exhibit for those that can't get out due to COVID. And then we're also going to develop they called them travel kits, for the different Osage groups, you know, the California Osages, Texas Osages. These kits will go out where they can do distance learning, where they will set up an endpoint, and it'll have audio, video, where you can interact with the classroom. We'll also have some of these for use around Osage County as well. The other needs section, we received a request from the Osage Nation Congress and the judicial branches for about $100,000 worth of COVID response. Those are moving forward. We did open it up to all of the other Osage Nation entities, but the task force felt that the best LLC would be Osage Home Health, and we've allotted them $61,000. Additionally, we did have $1.9 million that is not obligated due to the cancellation of the men's PRT. That money, anything that goes over, if the individual Osage payments go over or anything else we need to tap, that money is there. There have been some new guidance and some rumblings of things that might change legally. So we've got some ways that we're looking at to liquidate those funds, you know, December, because that is the cutoff date. Everything must be spent by 12:30. And we've got some plans in place where anything that isn't obligated by, you know, the middle of December, that we could then convert back to tribal dollars. And then, of course, there's the big administration budget that oversees all of the overhead for the implementation of this $45 million. So that is my update. And if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to.
Congressman Keene.
Yeah, thank you, James, for coming. So I guess what I'm asking is, once our meat plant is up and running and operational, are there any plans to that to make that a commercial enterprise where we can profit from that, or is it just going to be a holy plant that provides just for the nation?
The guidance states that you cannot construct any economic enterprise, but it does state that if you do something and then once COVID is over and it's there and you can do that, then that is okay. Right now, as we bring this up, the sole purpose of it is to feed our people. It will be hopefully a break-even type facility. Then once COVID is behind us, well behind us, then at that point, if we want to go commercial, that is the plan.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Thank you, Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Wygant, for being here and for all of your hard work. I know I talked to you when you first got started and the committee got started. I think you guys did a great job. I know that there were different opinions on having the form notarized. I supported you all on that. For my thoughts on it were it would probably cut down on some of the fraud.
That was the main.
We certainly aren't the only. The Pawnee Nation did the same thing with their forms. They required for them to be notarized. And I see that we only had two denied, not members. So that was one of the things that I was fearful of, is once this got online, the form got online, I supported it being notarized because I thought, well, this is going out. It's for anyone to download or print. The incomplete applications at 38, can you tell us a little bit about, was there anything that you saw that was incomplete consistently out of those 38?
It's just that we kept the form very, very simple. It's front and back, and then just it's checking boxes, and it's just a matter of they didn't check that box, and we've got to get back with them.
Okay, so you all did, get back with them?
Yes, we were.
Okay, and just one more question. For the guardians of Osage children who are not Osage, what was their process like? So we have, I would consider a pretty good number of Osage children being raised by non-Osage grandparents. Were they able to utilize?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about that process of what they had to do since they're not the Osage member, but they're raising Osage grandchildren?
Right. I might need to get back with you on that. I was part of that policy construction.
Casey, do you?
Yes, ma'am. So it's pretty simple. Obviously, the adult fills out the top portion, but where it says membership card, you don't put anything because you're not a member. However, down in the bottom where you have minor children, if they're Osage members, you put that membership number in there, and then our guys look at it and go, okay, well, this isn't an Osage up here, but they're applying for these two children who they're the guardian over, all right? And again, you've had your application notarized, and that tells us if you're lying, that's on you, all right? So it alleviates the nation from that, from somebody putting something false on their apps, right? So if you have it notarized, okay, well, so that's the guardian. Instead of getting $1,500, you would get $1,000 only for those children.
Thank you. Congresswoman Rebard.
Thank you, Speaker. So, James, I didn't realize that we weren't doing the men's PRT or that it was canceled, but I was also under the impression that we were going to do a transitional housing for people in sobriety.
That was part of it. It was going to be a 16-bed men's PRT and an 8-bed transitional housing.
So that's something that they're talking about doing in the future?
Right. If we could, there's rumors of another payment possibly. If we could turn, there's some guidance that has allowed, that have made admin leave a recuperable expense. They're also talking about a new guidance that would state that lost revenue which would be amazing. We could recoup that as tribal dollars. And at that point, the money that we had set up for the men's PRT could be used for that, but on our timeline, instead of racing to 12:30.
Okay, well, I just want to say thank you to you for coming and reporting, and thank you to your COVID task force, and definitely to all the other programs, financial assistance and the DO's office for taking this project on. And I think you guys are doing a good job, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's spend a few more minutes with this, but be mindful of the fact that we have to, we have a committee meeting immediately following session, so we'll allow a few more minutes for questions. And then we have the report, and so I would say that if you have additional questions, we can email, or maybe we can do this another day also. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Speaker Pratt. I'll be brief. I just had a couple of clarification questions, if you don't mind. I just kind of wanted to know, I'm interested to find out the rationale behind it being only a men's PRT, and why, if you could speak to that, why it would only be men's, because we do have women that are that go through substance abuse just as much as men do.
Right, and the women has a new facility, you know, up here in town. The big thing was Dr. Shaw also wanted to have the men's PRT in Pawhuska. It's currently in Barnsdall, and to bring it here, and I think statistically, you know, men tend to abuse regrettably more than women.
Okay, and the other thank you. So the transitional was for men only also?
Correct.
Okay, my last question would be, and I just, this is really just for clarification. I believe that I was told and I've read that the CARES Act funds has to be for not items that were not previously budgeted for.
Correct.
I'm concerned about the two mobile clinics then, because I recall a board meeting with the Health Authority Board where they have already approved of one mobile clinic. And it hasn't come to fruition. And so I'm a little bit concerned with that particular topic.
Did they have the budget? I mean, it was appropriated for the...
The Health Authority Board approved it. Dr. Shaw was asked to present...
Congresswoman Lubin, is this relevant to the current CARES Act funding situation?
You mean...
Or could this conversation be a question for later?
Sure, absolutely.
We'll get back with you.
All right. Anybody has one more question? Otherwise, we'll... thank you, Mr. Wygant. And I did invite you to attend today, and I place it on the agenda. Clerk, I believe, were you in my office when we had the conversation in asking Mr. Wygant?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so in communicating with the chief, as we are trying to do as much as possible, chief, at the request of a member of Congress saying, hey, you know, could we possibly get an update? I asked Chief Standing Bear where we are on a possible update on the CARES Act funding. Therefore, Chief called Mr. Wygant and asked if they could possibly have a report ready by Wednesday. So yesterday I called from my office with the clerk there to confirm that Mr. Wygant would have the report ready by today, or if he needed till Thursday, Friday, later in the special session, and he said that it was prepared and that he would likely be reporting. Beyond that, Chief Standing Bear also stated that the Treasurer and the Director of Operations, Casey Johnson, would be participating, and we talked about accommodations for room, etc., who would be coming, and to assist in the event, because this is a team effort on the CARES Act funding. So I did make a verbal invitation and an agreement with who all would be coming today to provide information, and I placed it on the agenda. So thank you. Okay. We're still... Who is that? Is someone speaking?
I believe it was Todd.
I was.
We're still in motions and notices. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee will meet from 1:15 to 3:15 today.
Thank you.
Madam Speaker, Congressman Big Horse here.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes, Madam Speaker, I'd like to notice Government Operations will be meeting immediately following session.
Thank you. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Health and Social Services will be meeting today from 3:15 p.m. until 5:15 p.m.
Thank you. Congresswoman Rebord.
The Appropriations meeting or committee meeting will be tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Rebord.
Speaker, I'd like to make a motion and move that Congressman R.J. Walker serve as the 401k trustee.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any discussion? Okay, the motion is that to name Congressman Walker as a 401k trustee. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, congratulations, Congressman Walker. You are now a 401k trustee.
Thank you.
Congressman Walker.
Are we at adjournment?
Well, I was, the only thing I was going to notice was that the current go-to meeting link that anyone meeting electronically is on will continue to be the same for the immediately following session Government Operations Committee meeting. Now we are at adjournment.
Motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Second.
Motion's made and second to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no.
Yes.
We're adjourned.